Now we turn to verse 8 of Psalm 44. If you have your Bibles, do keep them open this morning as we look together at this text of the year that you will, I hope, remember and often refer to. In God we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. In God we will make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever and forever. What do you think of somebody who boasts? Would you give them much attention? Someone who's so full of himself or so full of herself. Look at me. Listen to me. You're a fool if you don't look at me, or you're foolish if you don't listen. I have the answers. What do you think of somebody like that? Those of you who are maybe my age maybe remember Muhammad Ali, the great heavyweight boxer. Do you remember Muhammad Ali? I am the greatest. Boys, he could fairly say it. And he was great for a while, wasn't he? I am the greatest. And where is he now? He wouldn't box too many now. And in verse 8, you see, the psalmist writes, in God we make our boast all day long. Had he a right to boast? Had he a cause to boast? Is there something that he could boast about? Well, you see, first of all, and we want to think of this morning, when someone boasts, they are thinking back to past events. Yes, they can look forward and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But mainly, whenever you boast, you're looking back and say, look what I have done. Look at the work that I did. Many people look back on some achievements over the past year and they boast. Look at the way the business has grown, 10% maybe. Look at the way the farm has gone well. Look at the way that I passed my examinations. I have reason to pat myself on the back. King Nebuchadnezzar, do you remember? Joanna was talking about the lady reading the whole of the book of Daniel. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar said, is this not the great Babylon that I have built by my mighty power? Oh, he could boast. He could boast. But here the psalmist says, in God we make our trust, or make our boast. So what are the people remembering? What things has God done so that they can boast in him? Look at the first verses now. Verses 1 to 7 speak of what God has done. Verses 1 to 3 speak of the distant past, and then verses 4 to 7 speak more of the immediate past. So let's think of verses 1 to 3 first of all. Look at all that God has done. Notice it says, we have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us. And then he goes on in verse 2. It was your hand. With your hand you drove out the nations and planted our fathers. You crushed the peoples and made our fathers flourish. In verse 3, it was not by their sword they won the land. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. These are the things that they're looking back on, and they're thinking, this is what God did for us. What a wonderful story, you see, to be told. They had heard it with their ears, verse 1. Their fathers had told them. Their fathers hadn't forgotten what God had done for them. And so they faithfully told their children, look, God brought us out of Egypt. God defeated our enemies. God brought us in to the promised land. You don't in any way think that you made it by your own strength. Way back before the present generation was born, God had raised up his people. In God, we make our trust or make our boast. Now let's apply this for today then. We sing, don't we, at times, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. And do many people really look back and consider that God helped, that God actually protected his people in past days, and that the blessings that we enjoy today, in many ways are ours, but they're the fruit of what happened all hundreds of years ago. The hymn writer wrote, "With grateful hearts, the past we own." I wonder, do we, with grateful hearts, own the past? Next year, God willing, in 2017 is the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther putting his 95 theses on the door of the castle in Wittenberg, the start of the Reformation. Don't ever make light of that. Don't ever make light of what John Calvin did in Geneva. Don't ever make light of what John Knox did in the Westminster Confession of Faith and the Shorter Catechism. Have you a Shorter Catechism in your home? I hope you have. Don't ever make light of those things. When we look back and think, 500 years ago, 400 years ago, and yet so applicable for us today. And we look back with thanksgiving because of what God has done. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Could you ever get a definition like that? Could you ever get a definition that was better than that? Every young person, have it in your mind. Whenever people tell you that the world is you, or the world is, there's no point in the world, that the world is useless, the world is fallen apart, remember, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Look back. Look back. And remember today that we enjoy these blessings because of people like Luther and Calvin and Tyndale, who brought us the English Bible and the Bible in our own language. Oh, sometimes people say today, I live in the present. I don't live in the past. What happened in the past is over, they would say. But no, you see, God is the God, He's the God of our fathers. And let's not forget how God blessed years and years ago, and still applicable today. But then verses 4-7 quickly are about the immediate past. And now we're constantly reminded of the past, aren't we? In our land, there have been so many terrible events over these past 40 years, 50 years. We have an historical inquiry team. I see there's another historical inquiry team being set up in England to look at the soldiers that took part in Iraq. And people who are hurt often say, we just want the truth. We want the truth. But look at verses 4-7. You see, God is the one who gives victories to His people. Verse 5, He says, through you we push back our enemies. Through your name we trample our foes. Verses 6 and 7, I did not trust in my bow. Oh, that's something to remember whenever you look at this text. In God, we boast all the day long. I didn't trust in my bow. I didn't trust in my gun. I didn't trust in my strength. My sword did not bring me the victory, but you gave us the victory over our enemies. The psalmist can surely boast. Look at all that God has done, and not just in the distant past, but in the recent past. What these battles were, we can't be sure, but the shout is one of victory. We will boast in God because of all that He has done for us. Not in our ability. With the bow or sword, you give us the victory. How can we ever pat ourselves on the back and think, we're doing a good job in many ways? Like sometimes, you know, God's people, they need always to remember we're sinners saved by grace. If He had not reached down to save us, then where would we have been? And how important this is for us to remember. Look back even at the year that has gone. Look back over the past years of your life and consider if our help had not been from the Lord, where would we have been? where would we have been? The psalmist in the 124th Psalm says, "Now Israel may say, and that truly, if that the Lord had not our cause maintained, if that the Lord had not our right sustained, when cruel men who us desired to slay rose up in wrath to make of us their prey." Think of this. Has God not blessed and guided not only in the past year, but throughout our lives? "For all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise him." Does that ever come into your mind? I hope it does. "For all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise him." I hope you can look back to that day whenever you put your trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And from that day you can say, "For all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise him." Look back. Remember who gave you the strength, the ability. Look back and give thanks for the blessings upon your business, upon your home, upon your children, in this congregation. Look back and give thanks. It wasn't in our own strength, because we can't cause even an anxious thought. God must bless. In God we make our boast all the day long. In God we make our boast all the day long. But let's turn to the second part of the verse. The second part of the verse. "And praise thy name forever." Praise thy name forever. Now that's a wonderful statement. But how can you be certain that you'll do that? How can you be certain that you'll do that? People often say, and I wonder sometimes even as Joanna has been here this morning, people maybe said years ago or months ago perhaps, "Now we'll not forget you, we'll remember to pray for you." But you know, with the best will in the world, we forget sometimes, don't we? We forget. What if there's a disaster in your family? Sickness, even death. Would you still praise him then? Praise him forever? What if you're to lose your job next week? Or your business was to fail? Or even if in this congregation there was some disagreement, remember in the prayer meeting to pray for, always to pray for harmony in the congregation. Never take it for granted. Never take it for granted. Pray for harmony, because the devil loves to cause disruption. Would you still praise him? Circumstances change, don't they? Do you remember some years ago, Tony Blair, whenever he was the prime minister, he took a visit to Libya and he met Colonel Gaddafi, and the whole pictures were, you know, throwing his arms around Colonel Gaddafi and kissing Colonel Gaddafi and Colonel Gaddafi kissing him. It was great. How many years was it until the Royal Air Force was dropping bombs on Libya? Not very many. Dropping bombs on Libya. So how can we be sure? You see, if Psalm 44 had stopped at verse 8, it would be great. But you notice verse 9. Notice what it says in verse 9. The whole thing changes. "But now you have rejected and humbled us. You no longer go out with our armies. You made us retreat before the enemy, and our adversaries have plundered us." Verse 11, "You gave us up to be devoured like sheep. You sold your people for a pittance. You've made us a reproach to our neighbors." Why, Lord, why? After all, we've just said, "In God we will boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever." Why the second part of the psalm? Why does it change so dramatically? Why? Would you still praise him if this was all happening to you? You've made us a reproach to our neighbors. My disgrace is before me all day long. But you know, whenever you read this, the rest of this psalm, I hope you read it all from time to time, because the verse 8 just, you know, is in the middle of it. There's no answer to their cry. There's no answer to the question, why? Why? And that's the thing, isn't it? That over the past year, you've heard people say, why did this happen to me? What did I do to deserve this? And what's the answer? Well, in Psalm 20:44, there is no answer. Now you've rejected us. Why? There's no answer. Now you've made us like a pittance. There's no answer. No answer. Why? And then he goes on, you see, in verse 22, yet for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Did anyone pick up where that verse is quoted in the New Testament? Paul quotes it in Romans chapter 8, that great chapter, tremendous chapter, where he says about being more than conquerors through them, those who love us. Listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Paul quoting from Psalm 44 and verse 22. And then he goes on to say, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor demon, nor things present, nor future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And the psalmist says we're like sheep to be slaughtered. Paul brings the verse in and says, who shall separate us from the love of God? No one or nothing can do that. Not even death can separate his people. But yet when you read these verses, it does appear at times that God has forsaken the people. And so you have the cry in verse 23, awake, O Lord, awake! Why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. So similar to the cry of the disciples, you remember, in the boat and out on the sea, out on the lake, when Jesus went to sleep and the storm got up and the disciples were so frightened and they said, teacher, do you not care that we perish? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. You know, the sad thing is that so many people live without God, and then in a time of tragedy, they seem to think, well, now I need God. But then they feel as if God is asleep. And sometimes even God's people can be like that. I will praise him forever. Will you praise him forever? Now, the year that's to come, the year that, except for 3 days, the year that is to come, you don't know what's going to happen to you, and I don't know what's going to happen to me. Will we continue to praise him? In spite of all the, at times, the difficulties, will we praise him forever? Or will we say like the words of the paraphrase, are you afraid his power shall fail when comes the evil day? And do you think that God, the great creator, will grow weary? Forget you? And yet you know and I know that trouble's never far away. Trouble's never far away. Jesus said, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you, John 15. But God is still the same. And the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember, you can boast about his love in the past. You remember about all his goodness in the past. He cannot change. And that's why you see in verse 23, the psalmist cries, rise up, help us, help us. Verse 26, redeem us because of your unfailing love. Isn't it wonderful to put it like that? Your unfailing love. God in his mercy will redeem his people. Oh, whenever you read those verses, they've come through so much. They feel as if God has rejected them, but no, he will redeem his people because of his unfailing love. Nothing is more wonderful than that. So your text for the year is verse 8, and God, we make our boast all day long. We remember all that he has done for us, and we rejoice in his love. But also in this new year, we look forward. We look forward. And whatever will come, it should be upon our lips to say, we will praise your name forever. Because I want you to notice something just in conclusion about this, all this happened. Verse 17, all this happened to us, though we hadn't forgotten you or been false to your covenant. Our hearts had not turned back. Our feet had not strayed from your path. But you crushed us and made us a hunt for jackals and covered us over with deep darkness. If we had forgotten, they hadn't forgotten God. They hadn't turned their back on God. They hadn't gone their own way, and yet this still happened to them. This still happened to them. And that's something that for all of us to remember. Yes, we trust him each day, but you don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know what's going to happen. It's not that we have turned away from him, but yet at the same time, trials and tribulations and persecutions will come. Will we still praise him? Will we still praise him? People sometimes say, what did I do to deserve this? You hear people saying that so often. I kept a cutting out of the paper years ago of a lady. She writes sometimes, I think it's in the Times, and She was out riding her horse, and whatever happened, she came off her horse, and she broke her neck and just completely paralyzed. But she was a great journalist. And so she wrote an article, and she said, hey, why did this happen to me? Why did God do this to me? Was God up there just simply saying one day, that's enough, that's enough. She's got enough rope and zap, that's it. Off her horse and paralyze her. That's the way she was thinking. That's the way she... But sometimes God's people think like that. What did John do to deserve this? What did Mary do to deserve this? The psalmist said, look, he said, our hearts had not turned back. Whatever happens in the year that lies ahead, will you still trust him? Will you still praise him? Will you look at your text and say, in God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever? Whatever the day brings, you will praise his name. I trust you can say that. That you look forward with confidence, with praise, trusting alone in God. Yes, there'll be difficulty. There may be many hardships. But remember, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Listen to the words of the hymn writer in conclusion. With grateful hearts, the past we own, the future all to us unknown. We to thy guardian care commit and peaceful leave before thy feet. The future's unknown. Will we leave it at his feet and praise his name forever? Leave it at his feet and praise his name forever. Oh, may God in his mercy and grace go with us each one in these coming days, and whatever the problems, the difficulties, that we will still say, I will praise him forever, forever. Let's pray. Our gracious and eternal God, we do thank you indeed for all the way that you've looked after us and cared for us. And we do ask, Lord, that our hearts would be filled always with thankfulness, and that whatever the day brings, whatever a day brings, we would rejoice in your love and know that you will never be separated. We will never be separated from you, because you are our God, our shield, and our defender. We ask this all in our Savior's name. Amen.